It's 6 minutes after 10 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in. Last night we went to a meeting for the Special Olympics, and the lady in charge of it looks like she has is of Chinese descent, I would think. I'm guessing Maria is Chinese. Mm-hmm. And she had ordered some sushi and stuff,
yes,
right? Right. And it is something like and they were using chopsticks, and mm-hmm. but they're not Chinese, they're American. And it's just that that's their culture. It's just like in my yeah. family, when I was a kid, I had, you know, my grandparents were German, mm-hmm. and so there was a lot of German culture, I guess, that was part of my experience, even though I wasn't German. I grew up in New York, you know,
yeah.
but it's just part of our experience. There's a commercial, I think it was a commercial. For something, I don't remember what it was for, but there's a young man on a bicycle, and he meets this pretty young girl in the park, and she looks like she's got Asian descent in her, and he goes to her, "Well, where are you from?" And she said, "San Diego." And he goes, "No, I mean, where are you really from?" You know? And she goes, "I'm really from San Diego." And I guess she's tired of hearing that, and probably something that a lot of Asian descent people go through.
Yeah.
But we live in the melting pot of the melting pot.
Mm-hmm.
The United States is the melting pot. Florida is the melting pot of the melting pot.
Exactly.
You could argue that so is New York, so is San Diego, so is probably so many other parts of this country. Mm-hmm. We have a lady on the phone who wants to talk about multicultural living and the fact that we have that here, which I think is beautiful. She also happens to be a talented novelist. So we've got kind of two topics to talk about. Her book is called The Accidental Wife. I can't wait to find out what that title means. She is Dr. Simi K. Rao. She's a physician. She immigrated from India. In her early 20s, it says here, she enjoys exploring the dynamics of contemporary American culture blended with Indian customs and heritage. And so let's just say hello to Dr. Rao. Good morning, Doctor.
Hello. Namaste. Ni hao. Bonjour.
Oh, my goodness.
That.
Oh, my goodness. What did you say? I heard bonjour. What else did you say?
Hello. I said ni hao. That is hello in Chinese.
Ni hao.
Namaste is hello in Hindi, which is you know, the national language of India.
Say it again. How do you say it again in Hindi?
Namaste. It's a greeting.
Namaste. Okay, nice.
Namaste. It's N-A-M-A-S-T-E.
Namaste.
So it's saying hello in Hindi.
I one time tried to figure out how many, what word I know in the most languages. Is it no? Or is it 1, 2, 3? Like, can I count 1, 2, 3? How many languages can I count in? Or goodbye? Or... thank you for introducing yourself that way. That was unique. Nobody's done that before.
Well, as you're talking about being multicultural and America being a multicultural nation and basically a melting pot of peoples from across the world, I think it's important that, you know, all of us make an effort to learn a different languages, greet, you know, somebody say, as you said, of Chinese descent in their own language, and that'll certainly win us a smile. So it's a little step we take that goes a long way.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. The interesting thing is this. I always feel bad for the African-American population because they were brought here, not every one of them, and so don't get me wrong, but they were brought here primarily as slaves. So we don't really know their nationality. We only know the continent they're from, not the country that they can trace their roots to. And so they kind of miss out on this. Like I can trace mine to Germany. Mm-hmm. You can trace yours to India.
Right.
But they have to go for the whole continent. They don't know Kenya. Like, well, the president knows Kenya in his case.
Yeah, he knows.
So that's right.
Place.
He was there not that long ago.
Yeah.
You know, I went to Quebec once with my son. And I was kind of embarrassed by something I witnessed. And let me tell you what it was. In Quebec, as you know, they speak French. And I tried my best to learn a few phrases and to kind of fit in. And I was sitting there, and this was a campground, but I was in the main building where people come and register. And a guy came in, and he said, "Oh man, you got any empty spaces? I need to put my tent." I'm thinking, why can't you at least try? Can't you at least say bonjour first? I mean,
yeah, right.
Something. Right. I mean, just something. You have to just start in with assuming that. I mean, they did know English, so that wasn't really the problem. But I would think they would be respectful to at least try.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes, and it's the same thing. Like, we were in Paris, 2 weeks ago for a very, very short vacation, and we were told when we were, of course, we try to read up a little bit of the country before we go there, and they said that, you know, French are extremely proud. They won't speak to you in English, no matter how hard you try. but then we realized that all it takes is just a couple of words, like I said, and then they know English. They will speak to you in that language. Maybe they're a little shy because they're afraid they may be pronouncing the words wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody is, you know, that proud that they won't attempt to communicate
right.
with you.
Any reasonable person. I mean, you might have some, you know, people who are just stubborn, but I mean, most reasonable people will give it a shot, you know.
And we were pleasantly surprised. There were a lot of people who, you know, were very happy if I say, you know, bonjour or merci, or, you know, they're willing to talk to you and, you know, help you out with.
And you know, and your life is so much more enriched when you do that. Robin and I, because of doing a radio show, and we've done it forever, but we knew a lady who was she was from India, and she was a dancer, and she was beautiful, and she was married to a doctor, so she was rich, and they invited us to her show. She did a dance recital or whatever you call that at the local theater.
Yeah.
And
that's right, and my daughter is going to do that next year. So.
Is that right?
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
But there was so much to the show that it was had religious significance, and there was symbolism up there that I wouldn't have known had they not explained it to me.
I mean, there is cultures, I feel, is not just religious. It's also, you know,
the food, the music.
A lot of non-religious things, which everybody can enjoy,
yeah.
You know, even if you don't belong to that faith. It's just, you know, all it takes is opening up your mind and accepting that, you know, it's not just one religion in the entire world. It's multiple religions.
Absolutely.
And we need to, if we have to survive, we have to live with everybody. There's no other choice.
When you came over here in your early 20s, were you already pursuing a medical degree, or is that something
yes.
you pursued
mm-hmm.
when you came here?
I was already a doctor, and I, you know, basically I came here to do my advanced degree. This country is a place to do advanced degrees, and so, yes, I was already a physician, and, you know, it's just, you know, I was here to do my post-graduation. And,
so is novelist something new on your resume? Oh, I just went to your website.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, you're a pretty lady. I just went to your website. I'm sorry, I was distracted by your photo. Robin knew you'd be... Robin knew I'd have that reaction.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you now.
Oh, so you just got onto my website. Oh, yeah, somebody helped me. It was a pretty bad website.
A bad website? Oh, this looks like a good website. Contact
Seam. No, it got refurbished.
Oh, it's a good one now. Yeah.
So, I'm somebody who hates the camera. I mean, who hates to come in front of the camera. So
really?
I have to be behind it and take pictures, and that's what I do. plus all the other miscellaneous things.
Namaste. Yeah. Namaste? I'm looking at namaste. Is that how you say it?
Yes, namaste.
I'm going to remember that, namaste. Whenever we have a discussion about the most popular restaurants in this town, Ocala, you're not going to believe this, maybe, or maybe you will, but it's always the Indian restaurant. There's an Indian restaurant here.
Yep.
It's always
mm-hmm.
number one on the list.
Always.
I haven't...
So, that's what I say. You like Indian food. Why don't you learn an Indian term? You know, like... And then
well, now I know one. Namaste.
You're enriched, you know. You're a little, you know, you're one step more than the next person. And, you know, and it just takes a few more steps each time. You know, learn when you drink chai tea at Starbucks, you want to figure out what they put in it, you know, and why.
Oh, my.
What is that dessert called? It's like, it looks almost like a munchkin from Dunkin' Donuts, but it's in a little glass. Well, that's how it was served.
Oh, is it gulab jamuns or is it brown in color?
Yeah, and it was like in syrup.
Yes, yes, that's called gulab jamun. It's made of, say, milk, like milk. It's all our desserts are milk based.
Made of milk. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't eat cows, but you drink milk.
We are vegetarians, but you're not vegans.
Okay.
I'm a vegetarian, but there are lots of, you know, many people who eat meat in India.
I know, but they don't eat cows. Aren't cows...
It's
like
a religious...
forbidden?
I mean, it's truly, it's not all Indians don't eat cows, but a lot of Indians don't.
Mm-hmm. I hardly eat cows. I mean, very rarely.
did you find any kind of adversity when you came over to the United States and you were pursuing your advanced degree? Did you feel like you were unwelcome?
No. I did not feel that. And maybe it's the profession I was in. I don't know, because medical profession is very multicultural. There are lots of not just Indians, but Chinese, and lots of people of different communities who pursue the medical, to be doctors. And now all of us are pretty mature, I think.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Find
right.
that you know we. Right.
Well, plus, once you get to know somebody, I mean, doesn't all of that other stuff disappear?
Yes, I think so. And that's what I'm saying, that, just recently I came across a quote from Pope Francis, and he says, God is not afraid of new things. That is why he's continually surprising us, opening our hearts and guiding us in unexpected ways. And I would say the same thing holds true for being multicultural. You should not be afraid of new things, and you have to open your minds. So if a neighbor moves in who doesn't, next door, who doesn't, who looks a little different, speaks a different language, eats different food, you shouldn't be afraid to, extend a hand of friendship. And that's the first step.
And I appreciate the sushi, but I'm not going to eat it.
And also, at the same time, you don't have to accept everything. You can have differences.
Right.
But at the same time, it's important to respect that, yes, there exists, people from different lands, people who follow different cultures, speak different languages. And there may be something there that you may like and you may adopt for yourself.
Like Ravi Shankar.
When
George Harrison when the Beatles went to, you're too young for this probably, but that was my introduction to that whole new music, that whole line of instruments. I didn't even know.
George Harrison is one of my favorite singers, and I love his, that song he sang, for the, what's that, with Ravi Shankar.
Bangladesh.
Oh, the Bangladesh song?
Yes.
Oh, yes. The song
that
Bangladesh.
About the Lord.
Sweet Lord.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes, and he uses all these Hindu gods, and he chants all, and he actually blends in every.
Right.
Yes, and it's such a beautiful song. It has such a so much depth of meaning in it. My sweet Lord, I'm trying to figure out where you are and how do I get to you?
Right.
And it really, really affects me whenever I hear it. And that's it. That's how it should be.
Right.
Being multicultural, you should not, say, pull out a gun and try to shoot your neighbor because he looks
right.
different.
Right. We had a discussion one time about which musical instrument I'd love to. Robin and I are both musicians, so we had this discussion. What musical instrument have you never played that you'd love to get your hands on? And it would be a sitar. Mm-hmm. I've never even touched a sitar. Mm-hmm. I don't even know where.
And I know. I think even Rolling Stones, they have a couple of songs with the sitar in it, and it's very much like it sounds like the guitar. And I think there are lots of people who can play sitar on the guitar.
Oh, really?
Make it sound like.
Oh, man. Not really. Do you know, have you ever seen Ravi Shankar's daughter?
Oh, yeah. She's gorgeous.
Oh, man. Oh, man. If you didn't like that music before when you heard just Ravi playing it, oh, man, you like it after. Can I
Anushka Shankar, yes.
What is her name?
Anushka.
Anushka.
Anushka Shankar.
Yeah. Dr. Simi K. Rao is on the phone, and we didn't get to talk to you about your book, so we'll do that when we come back. The book is called The Accidental Wife. I can't wait to find out what that's about, but I've loved the conversation so far. Let's take a little break, and we'll be right back. All right, 22 minutes after 10 o'clock. Gosh, we're having such a great conversation. Don't you love this one?
I do.
Dr. Simi K. Rao is on the phone, and are you in Denver, doctor?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I can't remember if I asked you that or not, but I saw it in your bio here. So tell me about the Accidental Wife. That's your second novel?
Yes, it's my second novel. My first novel was about an arranged marriage.
Oh, I wanted to ask you about that, too. But go ahead. Tell me about this book.
Okay. This is about essentially about an Indian-American doctor. As a lot of young, Indian-Americans moved to this country, and he moved here with his family when he was five, and then he, went on to become a neurosurgeon. And then, like a lot of Indians do, they, men and women, they live, even though they are, about 18, they'll continue to live with the family till they get married. And his mother orders him, basically, to find himself a wife, or she would find one for him. In a bind. He's married to his profession, and he hates being ordered around. That's pretty usual.
I would pretend.
Married.
I would pay somebody. Would you just tell my mother you're married to me? That's it. I'll pay you $10.
And basically what he does, he wouldn't ever marry a girl his mother finds for him. So he basically tries to get out of that bind and try to find a wife in quotes who would not interfere with his work. And he does that. He tries to do it over the internet. And he tries to find a girl in India. And basically what follows is a comedy of errors. And, it's basically what it begins out as a fun book, but then, something unexpected happens. And, finally he learns that, it's a wife is not a plaything, or, she is somebody who could potentially, make your wife, life worth living. And, so essentially he falls in love with his accidental wife. And, it's a fun book. And
is it like a romantic comedy?
Lots of twists and turns.
Is it a romantic comedy?
It begins out as, it starts out as a comedy, and then it ends up in a more serious, profound note. So it's a mix of everything, all kinds of emotions. Not really like a Bollywood movie.
Bollywood movies have lots of singing in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it starts out as a Bollywood movie, but ends in a more serious note. So, but it's fun.
Oh, my goodness. I guess if we ask you who he ends up with, we'll be spoiling the book, huh?
Yes. It's not, you wouldn't guess what happens. You couldn't guess what happens.
Okay, so we'll have to read the book then. So you are selling your book very well, doctor. What kind of medicine do you practice?
I'm an internist, internal medicine, and
so you could be my doctor.
I used to be in practicing clinic medicine, but then I moved on to hospital medicine. So now I'm always just work in the hospital. Mm.
So what I wanted to ask you about the arranged marriages. If you are the daughter of an immigrant Indian couple, let's say,
right.
Or the son, I guess, for either or.
Right.
I would think that because you're so Americanized, you might be resistant to that arranged marriage thing. Am I right?
That is true. That's very, very true. And that does happen, especially, like you said, you're brought up in this culture and you're afforded the freedom to move around, the peoples of different cultures and not necessarily Indians, because arranged marriage is not just being married to an Indian. It's, what the parents do is try to find a match, not just like the social match, a person who can, who has a guaranteed income that they can take care of you. People who move in the same circles, so language, states. So there are lots of things involved, and they're not just Indian.
An Indian dad would have never picked me. He's in radio? Never mind.
So, yes, a lot of Indian kids here tend to marry, people from other cultures. And, the parents are fine with it, mostly. And all they want to know is that, hey, you are genuine. you're not somebody who, And I think the Indian kids are good enough to say, they want to introduce their future mates to their parents. So get an agreement that maybe sometimes reluctant that, yes, this person is good for you. And so it all ends up well, that and everybody generally participates in the...
You have given us such a wonderful perspective on things. The dancer that Larry was referring to, her marriage was arranged, and they both seemed very, very happy with
each other. Oh, he lucked out. That guy was lucky. Yeah, I don't know how lucky she was, but he was lucky. Let me tell you, that guy, his parents did a good job with him.
And it's true, you know, sometimes you'll like wonder how come these two ended up together. And, you know, sometimes it's, you know.
I wonder that with everybody. I look out the window and I say, how did he get her? I see that all the time. Doesn't make sense to me. Doctor, thank you for being on the air with us. I've loved the conversation. I already know the website because I went to it. It's Dr. Simi's name and then .com. So it's Simi, S-I-M-I-K, the letter K. Rao is R-A-O, so simikrao.com. Robin actually makes it easy for the listeners, Doctor. She has your website already on the guest list, so our listeners can go there to look you up. Is the book, are the books on Amazon, et cetera?
Yes, they're on Amazon, so all you need to is either Google my name, look for my name, or look for one of the book titles, and they will, you know, automatically you can... get to the other book.
And if you look at the video that we just made of this interview, you'll be able to see it as well. Dr. Rao, thank you so much. That was great. We'll be right back.
Yeah, it was wonderful talking to you, Larry and Robin. Bye.